Oh, Poodle, we need to record 90 Day Fiancé.
I don't know. What if we recapped another show? Would that be okay?
Oh my, how original. Poodle, you can do whatever you want.
Right, it's my show.
Our show.
Our show. Want to hear my idea?
You have to keep your clothes on.
Then I have another idea. When you don't know which to pick,
a nice vagine or a friendly dick. Bye.
Bye.
Curious do. When you want another show,
not 90 day one, we don't know. Bye.
Bye.
Curious do.
They say variety's the spice of life.
Why stop at just one husband or one wife?
Poodle, that's polygamy.
I'm sex positive.
So email, Facebook, send a text.
Tell us the show that we should do next.
By Curious.
On with the show.
I don't care. Are you recording?
Yeah, we're recording. I don't care. Y'all.
Yo, this is our By Curious episode.
And if you're wondering if it sounds like, wait a minute, are they in the same sex dungeon?
Unfortunately,
we are.
I'm in adjoining swings.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Just a swing.
Hey, over there.
Y'all, I'm in Los Angeles.
We are together.
Then you know the first thing I did was walk around Poodle's apartment and see what I needed
and
to
judge
take.
It. And this is a no nag weekend. So you don't have a lot of time.
This is a short weekend. I don't have time to really do anything.
Nope.
It hurts me.
And that's the way I like it.
It hurts me.
And that's the way I like it.
What's that from?
It's
a song.
It is a song.
Who cares?
Y'all, this is By Curious.
This is the first time our $5 tier is getting our By Curious. So welcome.
Oh, welcome.
Welcome, $5 tier. Welcome, Lonely Hearts.
It's only late. This is for June.
One day. 2 days. Because this will go out tonight.
What is today? Today is...
Can you take off your watch? Because you stare at it.
No, I was going to see the calendar, what day it is. June 2nd. Yeah, 2 days.
But like your Apple Watch, you consistently look at it like it's bothering, like it's texting you something.
Well,
what if I looked at my phone while I was doing the podcast?
You have been on Grindr. You have been on Grindr looking for tricks.
One time.
Twice.
But wouldn't you rather me? You wanted to have me have sex.
No, I want you to get fucked. Because it's been a long time for you right now. Because you
it's been
were
a couple weeks.
You had an illness
and stomach flu.
Didn't really want to be around you a lot until you gotten something in you to
well,
get it out of.
Guess what?
It.
I'm still unfucked. So I'm crazy.
I'll take it off. I don't mind if it bothers you that much.
No, you just constantly look at it.
But it doesn't affect my show.
That
you staring at your phone.
I'm just saying it's a little dismissive.
Uh huh. Kettle black.
Y'all, this is By Curious.
This is by Reality Gaze By Curious. And yes, this is on the $5 tier now. So
the show you chose through, we're going to send you a poll each month and on Patreon. Sorry, Supercast people. We haven't figured out how to do a poll.
We can't do the
there.
Poll on Supercast, but you are getting the episode.
You're going to get the episode. If you have a vote, Supercast people, you can just... Send us on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
Saying, I want this, and I'll
don't
tally
do
those.
That. We're not going to tally those. No. Don't want, no.
I wanted them to sound like they have a voice.
They don't right now.
I'm sorry.
But they also, they don't care because they were able to sign up with one click instead of having to deal with Patreon.
God damn.
Y'all, we know it's a hassle sometimes. So anyway, so you're going to get two for this month because we do one for the $5 people that are new. We get one By Curious month.
No, this is last month.
This is, yes, this is June technically.
This is,
so
this
for
is
July,
June's
you're going to
By
get
Curious.
Two. You're going to get two. We try to do it at this point in life. We just have been doing it whenever we
it's
have
usually
the time.
It's usually winding up being the last weekend of the month.
Maybe.
Last week.
It used to be the first Friday of the month.
Boy, that blew up.
Then it became the second Friday. That lasted for 2 months. And now it's just whenever Poodle gets out of bed and feels like doing it today.
And now it's when we can fit it in, actually.
Yeah, that is when we can fit it in.
Speaking of fitting things in,
I
need to get ramrodded.
Please get that done tonight.
I've got some calls out.
Okay, good.
Got some feelers out. I'm telling you, the thing is, y'all, I just got to go with reliables because I'm right now, it takes a lot of energy to break in someone new. So,
yeah.
They were a little scheduled this week. I didn't love that.
Oh.
Let's talk about our Bicurious that the episode that won was the episode of Too Large on Discovery Plus with Thick Bitch Corey.
It's episode 2 on Discovery Plus. Yep. So y'all, this is Corey. He is 28 years old. He's gay. He lives in, is it Alabama?
Is it South? Georgia.
South.
Boy, you didn't even pay attention.
Well, but there's
Cartersville. Sounds like an Oklahoma town.
It does. Cartersville.
You know, it's right above Bartlesville.
Well, there's a Holdenville.
There's Ada.
Holdenville's really pretty. It is. It's very pretty.
You know, Aunt Darla's dog came from Cartersville.
But my mom's dog came from Colgate, which is over by Wetoka.
Stop. These are not places.
No, Colgate, yeah.
I could just make up saying, yeah, down to Dump Junction. Dump Junction, Oklahoma.
There's some. It's just I don't know why. Interesting names.
Buzzard Peak.
I bet you that's there. Maybe by Altus.
It just sounds.
Altus is beautiful. It's over
just
by Lone Wolf.
Absolutely desolate. I just to hear the names. Enid,
Pontiac.
Well, that sounds okay because that's a car, and that was a chief. So let's talk about Corey, y'all. Corey's in Atlanta. He is so-called gay, 23 years old or 28.
So he's actually in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's outside the suburb, Cartersville.
He's 28. He's a thick
or Cartersville. I can't remember.
Thick bitch.
Some basic suburb, which, y'all, the apartment complex that they're at, it's not Paces Crossing because it's not that nice. It is.
No, I thought it was nice.
It is
Paces Crossing.
Wood Point Glen or some shit like that.
Maybe.
No, it's not nice. No, Paces Crossing was nicer.
Oh.
No, this was, like, identical. I don't know. It's Paces Crossing light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just looks like your generic apartment. So, and he has a roommate,
Renee.
And so,
let's talk about something right out of the gate.
Yeah, we don't know even how if we're going to do this cron or kind of just things that spoke to us.
Yeah.
I mean, the cron of the show is, y'all, he's trying to lose weight.
His weight loss journey.
He goes to the doctor.
And health journey.
He has to lose weight before he has the surgery.
Yeah. And we chose him because, well, you guys chose him, but I wanted to put him on there on the Bicurious options because people had reached out and said, you guys are going to love Corey because he's Southern, kind of not flamboyantly, but in a very proud way.
Yeah.
And which we find out later that this is all kind of a mask. It's a protective thing, which is very common in the South with gay men. You wind up being extremely extroverted and extremely have a lot of attitude because you're trying to cover up for the insecure person.
Yeah.
And
I think it's very common with gay people in general. Yeah. I've seen a lot
but he said, he said, we don't do emotions here, you know, things like that.
It's,
because you don't want to let that in because that's ugly. And it's not fun, and you want to be liked so much, so why would you do something that was ugly?
Yes.
So the first scene, he calls out shirtless, I guess, to Renee. Okay. And I don't know why, because he's going to do it, or maybe she...
I don't know.
Anyway, you guys, for me, that this brought up something for me, just the idea of being, we have our own issues with food and weight loss and everything like that. Like,
yeah.
I would have a real issue being shirtless on camera. Mm-hmm. Like, if they told me that, I'd have to be like, where's some extra money? Can you throw me an extra $4,000 here per episode?
The money helps.
The money would help.
When I had to do a commercial in my underwear, I was worried about it until I realized it was a SAG job, so I got paid for it.
Well,
but you kind of have
Let's say you got cast as person who you'd never see want to see yeah. in their underwear.
But also too, that was like it was a commercial. It was a comedy thing,
and we were laughing at your body.
We'll do things for the yeah, really. Well, I'll do things for the sake of comedy. But this, you like, know, in my own house,
yeah, being
in
you,
a personal thing, that would be.
I know.
I would be really in my head about it.
And he came out, really, y'all, he's overweight. He is a large person.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, and I don't know if brave is the word for it, but like, it would take a lot for me.
For you, it's brave. I think for, you know, because we don't want to be like, oh, that's so brave.
No, that's not what I'm meaning.
We don't want to be talking down. Because for him, that just maybe is not.
That's a daily thing.
Deal. But for me, a camera crew, I'm walking around my house just talking to people shirtless. I don't think I could carry on a conversation.
Y'all, I know. That's where, and I, like, at the pit of my stomach, I felt something every time that wow. happened to him. And it was because that was how I felt as a kind of overweight kid.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Oh, I would never, you know, I would never.
You wore shirts in the pool.
Well, that's because it was cold. Oklahoma.
Those Oklahoma cold summers, y'all.
Y'all, I get so cold when I get out of the water.
Didn't you also wear socks?
I didn't like feet. Didn't like them.
That is so unacceptable.
Which
to
is
have
so
this
crazy
child.
Because I can't tell you how many guys sexually that I've been with.
Yeah, you say that.
Are really
and I'm,
into my feet.
I don't necessarily buy it.
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
People. Spitting on them, coming on them, kissing on them. I mean, I once was in a circle jerk with just three guys just coming on my feet. I think I have fine feet, but I could start an OnlyFans. But just
like
my
Courtney.
Feet. Yeah. Maybe I'll do Courtney. My feet, but you could voice it as Rodney.
Oh. Jeffy, come on the feet. Come on my feet. There we go. Come on my feet. Come on my feet. That's it.
I kind of want to make that OnlyFans.
So, y'all, he says he's a thick bitch with a few extra C's and comes in and he's saying that being his size now is painful physically, emotionally, and everything about his life.
I want to make a distinction in that. What I liked about his story is he said painful. He was talking about physically and emotionally. However, what I liked about this episode, he never said, I hate my body.
He never did.
He actually has, he even talked about how he wants to be healthy.
Yeah.
How he does love his body. Like it was.
He never says he wants to be, as he says, a skinny bitch.
Yeah. And so I kind of, I thought he had. I felt like he was doing this for all the right reasons and that
yeah.
there was a body positivity component in his own head to this.
There was, and I thought that was kind of the point to me of that shirtlessness.
Yeah, I thought so too. Because if you're just, you know, it'd probably be like, my dad's overweight. I'm used to seeing my dad overweight, so it's not something I think about.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I want to talk about, one of the reasons I want to talk about this show is because you have three members in your family who've had bariatric surgery.
My family's is quote self-described fat family.
Yeah.
Like so, and I'm chubs, but I'm not as overweight as my rest of my family members, but you still kind of have that ideology
yeah.
of what it is. And so I thought a lot about my dad in this because y'all, a lot of this comes from you know, we'll get into that, but I thought the idea of so Corey, He talks a little bit about like kindergarten. He was bullied, y'all.
Because he was the big kid. He was the thick kid,
or he was the gay kid. So he was getting like
double bagger.
A DP of bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said when he got out, when he came out in high school, that happened way more.
Yeah.
But what I love about his story is that y'all, his father.
I know. This Southern was beautiful.
Country father, who he said, which is where I got the big gene from.
Well, yeah, he calls it the fat gene.
He calls it the fat gene. Yeah.
And now there is genetic.
The people that have had surgery in my family all take after my dad's side, whereas I take after my mom's side.
There is genetic, obesity does run in. I don't know if it's ever been called the fat gene, but yeah. I think that's just kind of a shorthand for him.
Mm-hmm. But I loved how he said his dad was his biggest supporter.
Yeah.
When he came out, his dad was like, I don't care, I still love you. His dad was was encouraging him to lose the weight.
Right.
And then his dad passed away
a few months ago. So this is pretty raw, you guys.
Yeah.
And he said, when my dad passed away, I went on a 3-day binge. And he's like, because the way of eating things like baked beans, carbs, mashed potatoes.
Yeah, the things my dad would cook
all
for
the
me.
Things so I could feel closer to him. So obviously, you guys... this is emotional eating, you know, mm-hmm. And it's interesting. And later on, we can talk about this. He's like, I love carbs. When I eat that, it makes me feel something. And I could honestly say when I eat potato chips, that's why I often say I feel high for carbs like
yes.
that. I don't know if everyone says, yes, I love this. I don't love sweets, but like potato chips, pizza, like he mentioned, fried rice, those things, like they do make you feel good and in a way make you, they're emotional eating foods for me. Like
yeah.
I got fried rice when I was starting to feel better because that was something that made me feel better. Like the foods that I ate when I had with a sick stomach ache were things that I ate as a kid.
When I realized that, when you go into trauma, my father, the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the palate of a 6-year-old anyway, but...
he eats tamales in a can.
He does, but it's all things... But what I realized is, though, and we could talk... This is going to go into kind of a bit with Corey, is that, y'all, part of it, too, is food discrepancies, food deserts in our country, and also...
Yeah, food habits.
We don't know his socioeconomic status of his family. We don't know if he grew up poor or whatever, but probably... Just so much of what
his family wasn't couched in the culture of healthy eating. Let's just say
yes,
that,
and because that's not the culture of y'all
in the South in general.
Salad, and I've gone to all these different places. The best salad I have found in Ardmore, Oklahoma, which has like 40 restaurants, a lot of restaurants. The best salad I found. Is the Wendy's salad with strawberries and bacon on it that they have a seasonal
and
salad.
That's 1500 calories,
or maybe the Chick-fil-A salad.
Yeah,
every other place, like it's all iceberg lettuce, has cheese,
yep.
a lot of sweet Italian dressing that's got a lot of sugar in
yep.
it, or heavy ranch dressing.
Yeah,
there's not like a kale apple salad with feta cheese or something.
You have to grow up or you have to either live somewhere where there's a culture of healthy eating, of more vegetable forward eating.
If you don't search that out, and you have to take the responsibility. All the vegetables in Ardmore, you go to places, they're all cooked to death.
Yep.
They're all cooked to death. They've added some type of fat in them.
Right.
They've added. So it's just, and I say this to not, it's better now with the internet and television shows, but I'm just telling you that historically, this is decades and decades of
yep.
over sodium food. So food has too much sodium.
Because it was inexpensive.
Because a lot of these people, even if they're not now, like my father, was really poor, which we
right.
talk about. Corey ends up being homeless.
Yeah.
And my father was on food stamp food and that kind of thing too. And the food that he says that he was getting was not good food.
There's a culture of people in the deep South where they are, if they're not one generation from poverty, they're two generations from
yeah.
poverty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one generation.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't poor. My mother's family was poor.
Oh, you're two.
So I'm
one.
Yeah. My mother's family was poor. She was poor growing up. So I'm basically one, but almost everybody is if you're not poverty, one, you're like, two generations.
Yes, and we're saying poverty like my father had a family of six, well, five after Uncle Jerry died, but...
Southern stories.
Meningitis, it's real.
Jesus.
He was 12.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, John is 12. But this is I'm talking like they ate for 3 days in a row flour biscuits,
yep,
or water biscuits that are just flour, water, and salt.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, my dad would talk about that. What did he just say? That she would, that they would get.
Grandma Hazel.
Grandma Hazel. What did he just say? It was, if they would go to like Hamburger Inn and get a hamburger, she would buy one hamburger and cut it up in pieces, and they have the five of them would each get a little piece of meat.
Wow.
For the hamburger, and that would be like their nice meal for the week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that not ever a fresh vegetable.
Right.
Everything was always canned because that's either what they were given or what they could afford.
Yeah.
So it's just, I bring this up because I think it's important to know. I think a lot of us feel like, oh, I just eat bad, or I just want canned food. Well, no, it's historically these things we have.
It's historical. It's cultural.
Yes. Yeah. And so you really have, it's hard, mm-hmm, to fight against that. And not only that.
And if you do wind up, I had two parents who, my mom and dad kind of got healthier when I was probably like 7 or 8. My mom switched to, we did eat vegetables, it was from canned to either frozen, and then it was to fresh vegetables.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of brought up to eat that way after that.
My mom still doesn't make fresh vegetables.
Really?
No. Like one time I just made, oven roasted broccoli with like onions and lemon, mm-hmm, and she went, oh my God, this is delicious. What did you do?
She just gets it out of the freezer.
Because she grew up one generation,
yeah,
from poverty, you know, because her mom grew up in a covered wagon. And so
that is nuts.
It's true. I know. I need to write that screenplay. But Grandma Maybell, y'all, grew up in a covered wagon for most of her, because her mother was in an insane asylum.
Okay.
And she was raised by her dad.
I can't go into this.
Yeah.
As soon as we say insane asylum, I can't.
It was. Anyway, so Corey, though, Corey's mom needs to be in a Salem asylum because.
Well. She doesn't, she says, he's being nice here. He says she's iffy about me being gay. And when my father, she's like, obviously he was living with his mom at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said the situation got so bad that I couldn't stay with my dad because his new wife doesn't like, yeah, the fact. So, y'all, this is a question of someone who's, we don't know what his food situation is like, but this is someone with definitely a love deficit going on.
Yes.
And food is obviously what he's used to replace it.
Yes.
And that's why I thought this therapist, later on, we'll talk about this, mm-hmm, she nailed it.
No, she was great.
One of the best TV therapists I've seen.
Well, this...
She was real, though.
Yeah, she was real. And food work is...
She wasn't like Tim's Golden Retriever.
If you... Yeah, no. Ugh. And food...
What do you call him?
Colombia.
What do we call him? I just... For...
Cheese stick.
Thank you.
This is what happens when you haven't had sex. You don't know.
I'm like Elaine from Seinfeld. I get dumb.
Yes, you could think.
Need to have everything cleared out.
Clear. So basically, she wasn't okay, obviously, with being gay. So he had to get out of that house. And y'all, he became homeless.
Yeah.
And not
this
only did
is
become homeless.
This is a thing for LGBTQ youth, you guys.
Y'all, this is...
Our Ali Forney Center for the Sissy Squad, our charity.
Yeah.
It is the numbers of... People, the numbers of the population of homeless who are LGBTQ is astronomical compared
way
to
more. And if you're trans, and
even higher.
And for all of
or
those,
trans of people of color,
whether they're queer, trans, it's even higher.
Yep.
So it's, I think Project 10 is the one in Los Angeles that does
it
stuff.
It is, yeah.
So, which is always never has an empty room.
Yeah,
never. They could probably add on 20 more rooms and have those filled within a week.
Well, they have that thing, that new, housing kind of thing. But they said that now you're waiting for 18 months to get into it.
Because there's that many people. Yep. So just to give you an idea, some of you might have watched this and thought, how
could you be homeless?
Very common for queer youth.
Because where else are you going to go?
Because where else are you going to go, especially if you're in a place like the South? And now Bobby says,
his brother
later says, you know, he doesn't reach out. He doesn't really get support from a lot of family. I understand why Bobby thinks that. But as a straight white man, when you're gay and people have already dismissed you, you
don't feel comfortable.
Don't put the hand out because it's going to bite you. You don't trust anybody.
You don't. You are worried you won't feel safe.
Yes.
Yeah, because you don't know. In a way, it's safer for him to be in a car, or if he doesn't have a car, it's safer for him. But if he doesn't trust someone, or feeling like they disapprove of him, and he feels bad about himself, it's easier to like sleep in on a friend's couch.
Or he's probably not trusting. Even though he's in the South, there's probably a lot of churches, and there's probably plenty of churches that would have taken him in and that are like an Episcopal church or a Methodist church.
Yeah.
But he's probably too scared to look for church resources because he worries about being judged for his sexuality as well.
Because that's the thing, you guys, his brother says, he doesn't really rely on family too much. The reason why is you're so afraid to extend your hand again and have it slapped back.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so,
but he did find a homeless center. He got into that. And after about a year, he got a job in tech support. And that's where he met his current roommate, Renee. So that's, but the thing that Corey's talking, for him, he has kind of the normal of when someone is obese, like his body, he can't walk.
He said, I feel stuck. I think that seems like for this show and for other, like 600 Pound Life feels like this.
Yeah.
And he's young.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people are already starting to have health problems from their weight, but he phrases it, I feel stuck and I need something to get me to that next level.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can relate that because just in the fact of like caretaking for my father, a part of me feels very stuck right now because I'm in not where I live.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out every part of my life. And this isn't even like a death or anything like that, but it's hard for me to try to work out. It's hard for me to not just eat the three cream casserole that Aunt Peggy brought over.
Three cream? What?
Cream of mushroom.
Stop.
Cream of chicken.
Stop.
And cream of cream. And just cream.
Cream of cream.
it's just cream.
Let's just say it's got just like, she just puts a sour cream in the middle.
And then there's cheese on top of it. You know, I think it does have sour cream in it. Y'all.
Cream of cream.
It's like Aunt Peggy. She made these apples, like just, you know, kind of caramelized apple. And I said, with phyllo dough, and I said, Aunt Peggy, these are delicious. I was like, how you get the caramelization? She's like, you know, Sprite. You put a little Sprite in there. I mean, she's a good cook. It crisps right up.
I the thing about it is, there is a place for that food, you guys, and it's not that we can't have that food, but
it's all the time.
A culture of that where it's all the time. Our bodies, and I just know from my mother and my father are almost healthy. It makes me kind of annoyed because now they only eat. I think they eat only pretty much fish.
They went on a raw diet.
They went on a raw diet for a while.
They raw dog
that diet.
They raw dog that diet.
They've been on everything, but they're health nuts. And they're healthier than the rest of my extended family. And my mom's brothers, she only has just two left.
Mm.
No, one. She has one brother left. And all the others, they either died of heart issues or other compounding things. And my uncle who died of Hep C, but he was a drug addict. Mm. Southern stories.
Southern story, y'all.
God. All right.
So he feels very
so much tragedy.
He feels very motivated to get his weight off. And he they show him and his roommate.
They're bringing donuts to the shelter.
I want to say something. If y'all want to watch, there's a YouTube video with Corey where he watches this video and he talks about kind of some of the discrepancies and one of, honestly, our hesitation with doing these type of shows, that he talks about he doesn't eat donuts like that.
We didn't want, we were worried that the show would exploit him
and
his weight.
And they do a little bit, like they're showing him eating, and he said he can't eat a donut now to this day because they forced him, production forced him to eat a bunch of donuts.
And it must have been humiliating.
And like when he ate the bowl of cereal in the big bowl, we always see that.
Well,
it was so...
I think that is to establish stakes, and I get it. It still feels rough.
Because listening to Corey, they need the drama, but he actually was more on the kind of more positive side of...
He was.
I'm done with this. In fact, he even, this is jumping ahead, but he even mentioned that when Dr. Proctor,
Daddy,
said, can you lose 50 pounds for the surgery? Corey said, I leaned in and said, what about 100?
And
I went, wow, what if they had shown that instead of like, I don't know, because I know they needed drama. So there's some things that we have problems with this type of television, which is why we don't cover it a lot.
Yeah.
Because again, But we just related to him so much.
One of the reasons I was glad that you guys selected this is because we did relate to him. And I wanted to talk about this because we know so many of our listeners struggle, even with a little bit. We're all, especially with COVID, we're overweight now.
Food issues begin with one extra donut.
Accepting the first 5 pounds. Accepting the first 10.
It's not about how much you weigh now. It's how you emotionally feel about full food, whether you're 10 pounds overweight or 200.
Right. And what Corey's goal was to get healthy.
Yes.
And that should be all of our goals.
Exactly.
Not I want to look, not like someone I know said last week, it's my hot girl summer. That was me.
That was Poodle.
And I screamed, when am I going to get into bikini season?
So he's going to do the surgery, and like he says really funny things. Like he says, Corey says, if Britney survived 07, I can survive this.
And that's the thing. He has such a...
He's a star.
He's a star.
Yeah, he is. He's just...
So he's got an aunt, Kristen, picks him up.
Tell me you don't love Kristen.
I love Kristen. But all I can think of is I can think of Kristen DiMera on...
Stefano DiMera is a mean.
Well, that's Susan, Kristen's.
We can't get into
Eileen
days
Davidson,
of our lives.
Who played like four characters.
We can't get into
Stefano
days of
DiMera
our...
is a main.
If you're into Days of Our Lives, come at Poodle.
I grew up watching it with my grandmother,
with Grandma Poodle.
Yeah,
Grandmother Poodle.
Yeah, she's like Stefano. My grandma would say, "That's Stefano DiMera. He'll get him." She kind of rooted for him, which was weird. And Victor Kiriakis. She liked the mafia bosses.
Yeah. Now, Corey says his Aunt Kristen's the most supportive person, y'all, because she went through this process herself.
With Dr. Proctor.
He said she had the fat gene, too. His words. She had the fat gene, too, and so she had the surgery.
Do you notice, though, he has to be driven everywhere because he cannot drive.
He cannot drive.
So it is debilitating for him.
It is debilitating already for him. If he gets down on the ground or gets in a bed, he can't. It's very hard for him to get out of bed. So it's to the point where
it's affecting his daily life in a huge way, and not letting him. It is an obstacle to living any type of life.
And so he goes to the doctor, and they're waiting to go, and he's nervous because he knows he's going to have to get weighed.
Get on the scale.
I know somebody in this room related to that.
I will say, like,
I've never seen anyone more scared of
when
a scale
they make
than
me
you.
Go to the doctor and they weigh me, and then I come back in 4 days for some type of follow up and they weigh me again.
You're like, really?
I'm like, big difference. And I get personally offended when they
weigh
me.
Well, they do that because if your weight it fluctuates quickly. Like my father, his weight fluctuated quickly.
Yeah, but I'm not a cancer, allegedly, patient.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
But I'm just like, dude, is my weight that different? And it's all, and their scale is always makes me heavier than
I
am.
It makes everybody. No one has a doctor scale that makes
my
you lighter.
My doctor, I think it's just fucking with people.
Probably.
That scale. My doctor's like, a weight shamer, too. He loves
hey,
it.
Hey, Jamie, put that scale 5 pounds heavier. Just
poodle's coming in.
Yeah. All right, doctor.
We're going to really mess with her today.
All right, Dr. Sampson, I'll be right on it. So now, okay, so Corey, and this made me laugh.
I'm literally putting my phone, taking my phone out and putting it on the floor.
That's what I do. My wallet too, and my keys. Poodle, what does? And I might start using this. What does Corey call the scale?
Karen.
That I'm like, I'm using this.
When he said, so he hasn't weighed himself in 3 years, and I didn't think about this. And the reason he said I can't just go to the grocery store because they don't go past. Like 400 pounds,
300 pounds,
mm-hmm. And I'd never thought about that.
Oh yeah,
and so the idea of you can't weigh yourself mm-hmm. unless it is a special scale.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. So anyway, he says like, "Okay, Karen,
listen here. I'm going to need you to work with me, Karen.
Don't be that loudmouth at the party telling everybody secrets." He's very funny. He's very funny.
He is. He's a star. He has star quality.
He does.
You know he was a theater kid.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
If things had been different for him, either he'd been born somewhere else or in a place where he'd been accepted, I wonder what type of situation he would be in.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or we can't really, who knows, because we're all products of our environment.
That's true.
I know if I hadn't gotten out of South Carolina, I'd probably be married to a woman and be working as a florist.
And I'd be that youth director.
You would be a Baptist youth minister.
Hi, y'all. Welcome to his Liberty Baptist Church.
We still think you missed your calling. It's really awful.
Kids, I just want you to ground. I need the left side to say, when I say Jesus, y'all say
saves.
Me. And the right side, when I say God, you say he's here too. All right? Jesus in me. God's here too. Jesus in
Wait,
me.
Wait. Tell me that's not something you've experienced.
No, I just made that up. I grew up Catholic.
I know, but I'm saying when you stayed at someone.
Oh,
you went
they did
to
a call and response. They did that at
Stoptown Baptist.
And they also did it at Falls Creek. The Baptist Church camp that's over by Arbuckle Wilderness.
Why
Falls
you,
Creek is where everybody has
Why did your parents allow you to go to a Baptist camp?
Well, I just went for one day to visit my girlfriend.
need to move on.
I went to see my girlfriend and I saw Point of Grace because I loved Point of Grace. We are Lord of Life. Live in order, mystery.
We've talked about
great
this,
harmony.
Y'all.
Great
now,
harmony.
They had one girl leave the group, and they're now Grace Points.
Oh, yeah.
That's called making lemonade out of lemons, y'all. Whoa.
They sound good. They've got good harmonies.
I can't.
We sang this day at my baccalaureate. Did y'all have
wait,
that?
We did have a baccalaureate service. Yeah. It was kind of like religion light, as most of them are supposed to be.
This was religion is light, but all the choir sang things about God.
Yeah.
They would say things about God, and there was a prayer and a sermon.
Yeah, we had one.
Reverend Morgan did it from
it was
Lone Grove First Baptist.
Very
he was great.
God light.
He wasn't very, yeah. I mean, it was probably a little more, but there wasn't talk about like sin. And all that.
Hopefully not.
No.
Because you're wanting to talk about the things that graduates are going out to do.
I personally don't think you need to go to a baccalaureate.
I think a baccalaureate is a terrible idea.
If I had a kid, I would say, you're going to skip that.
Separation church and state.
Yeah, you're going to skip it.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Yep. God doesn't belong in schools.
I'm like,
where was I?
Yeah. So, y'all, Corey says what we all say. Dr. Proctor is a daddy.
He is a daddy,
he is
y'all.
Hot.
I would beg for it.
Oh.
On my knees,
yes.
Which aren't great right now.
I'd let him. That's the, if he told me he could fuck me on the scale, I'd get on it.
Me too. And the scale would probably go up and down.
Yeah.
As
up
he'd be
and
entering
down,
me.
He wandered up and down and up and down. He wandered.
And Karen, the scale, would be like, nyer, 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 nyer. No. Shut up, Karen.
Shut up, Karen.
Bang me, Dr. Proctor.
Bang me, Dr. Proctor. So now he gets on the scale and he weighs 650 pounds.
Yep.
Which is way more. He told his
664.
He told his aunt he thought it would start with a 5. So, and look, a lot of people say you don't need to weigh yourself. Weight's just a number, all of that. But when you're at this, what this is, I think they use it for here. It's like,
it's a metric.
Well, it's an accountability.
Yeah.
Because they need accountability. That's what this is all. Any person struggling with addiction needs accountability. And for a lot of people with food addiction, this is how they get that. There's other ways.
I will say, and I don't, I want to ask if, or even maybe if you know, but did either your aunts or your father, did they have to do a what it would call a pre-surgery weight loss?
No.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
They didn't have to do that. And y'all,
because that means it's not just a magic bullet.
My father did not go to counseling before his weight loss.
He just went in there and said,
yeah,
I want you to cut my stomach in half.
So did Aunt Darla and so did my brother.
Wow.
Nobody. There was not any of that.
I feel like that should be a requirement. Because to see if you're not, you don't have other deep-seated eating issues.
I think it's a state-by-state thing. And
yeah.
That require them. Some doctors probably just require it more than others.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't know about that. Come at us, sissy.
But there's something about the commitment to be healthy of saying, I'm going to take this seriously, and I'm going to make my lifestyle change.
Because my dad thought it was a magic bullet. He would just
exactly.
have surgery. So did my brother. But guess what? They ate the same shitty food.
They didn't change eating habits.
Yeah.
Because I know we have a bariatric sissies group in our sissy squad.
Yeah.
But I think that's what it has to be about, because you're going to get the same. You're going to lose a bunch of weight. However, you're going to gain it back when you eat the same way.
What they're trying to do is really hard.
Yeah.
And they need to know that they're
You're trying to change the culture of your eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard. That is hard.
Especially where you are. And
if you're someone struggling with alcohol,
it's hard to work at a bar.
But if you're not at a bar, you can kind of try to avoid drinking, even though that can be very hard.
Right.
You cannot avoid food.
Nope. It's true.
You have to have that.
And I think with your father especially, it was his issues around food were just set from being a child.
From poverty.
Yeah.
And literally, food is comfort. And he knows that. But you know what it is? You have to withstand the pain of and the uncomfortableness of walking and working through something.
Yeah.
And my dad could never. A lot of people can't do that.
You just...
Because when Corey doesn't eat,
go solve it.
And he gets hungry, he gets pain. He feels pain. He needs that comforted.
And just like an addictive behavior, you just take another shot of whiskey. Or you feel pain instead of working through the pain or processing or feeling that kind of loneliness.
Yeah.
You just reach out for something that is your. That is like put a bag of potato chips for me.
Yeah.
Like, we've done that. We've had hard weeks where we like, God, I only want pizza right now. That's the only thing that's going to help.
Yeah.
Or as a client of mine, I overheard her say, she's like, we don't get pizza tonight. I'm throwing myself down the flight of stairs.
Yeah.
She's like, that's the language I can use to says it's very important to me.
Yeah.
But I understand that need for pizza.
But the doctor says, can you lose 50? And we didn't see it, but Corey said 100. But again, he's like, he's going to try. So we see him kind of day 10 into the diet. He's doing well. He the nutritionist has helped him. He said, I'm totally getting this. And then he goes with his brother to work out.
Okay. If he didn't have that scraggly straight man beard, his brother would be really cute.
Did you see him?
I saw it at the end where I wanted to sit on his face.
Holy shit.
He's got those Volkswagen doors open ears that you could just hold on to who? When he's just like taking you to Rimtown.
Gargula, yeah.
Just like a jar.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just hold on to the ears, y'all. That's the first chandelier scream in months.
We haven't been together.
That's true.
It's true.
Oh, where are my toys?
Gross. No, I mean, your dildo in our show.
I mean, not, gross. Not my sex toys.
Get your anal beads away from this couch.
What if I just threw them at you? I don't have anal beads.
I've never used them.
I haven't either.
I'm not a kid. I bet they would be nice. I like stuff in my butt.
I thought they would be nice.
I bet they would. I bet when people pull them out, it feels good.
We need to move on. So the aunt is bringing over nutritional drinks. He likes salads with banana peppers. I enjoy banana peppers. And Bobby's working out with him. And he said, out of my five brothers, they're all skinny bitches. And Bobby, he's like, but Bobby is the one who always supports me. I know Bobby loves me. Mm. And boy, what a wonderful thing for him to have.
Yeah. And he tells Bobby, he said, you know, Bobby says, what is your end game? You know, because he was in the service. So he really is thinking about goals and everything.
Yeah.
And he said,
totally straight guy, big problem solver mentality.
Yep. And he said, I want to be in a relationship. I want to have kids. And I want to finish my college degree because I can't do anything with my college degree.
And y'all, Bobby is trying to get him to do stuff like he, Bobby definitely does CrossFit. He's got the kettlebells. Yeah. He's got the fitness. And he's like, he's having a hard time. Corey's having a hard time just walking with the weight.
But that's a lot for him.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's too much.
It's too much. And so.
Too much is not enough. What's that from?
It's too much of something is not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Spice Girls. It's my favorite Spice Girls song.
favorite Spice Girls song, but you can barely remember the lyrics.
They changed it to, they changed it in
Spice World?
They changed it in the tour, the one that we saw. Like,
they did.
They changed because it used to be man and woman terminology, and they changed it to be gender neutral. It was great.
That concert was gay.
That concert was gay. And if someone said, let's go see the Spice Girls.
In a second,
y'all. That's the most fun you're going to have.
They all sang their singles except for Posh, who just did a runway walk.
Which is what she should do.
Because she don't have one.
That's what she should do.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so so Dr. Stapleton, he meets Dr. Stapleton, and he talks about him. At first, he was doing some really incredible, but then there was a bad 2 or 3 weeks, and he talks about how...
She was talking about, what do you want to say to your mom?
Well, because he says that not only is he family, he said his mom, his words, triangulated the family against him. So
that's just awful.
He hasn't talked to his mom in 3 years. I kind of thought she would like show up in this at the end.
Yeah.
Because
you know, we had people who kind of, we knew our parents loved us and we were afraid that we would be treated differently. But at one level, we knew that they would always love us.
Venturing out into the world and knowing that the person who brought you in it doesn't love you for who you are is a hard thing to step in.
And it's hard to overcome.
It's very hard to make peace with. And I don't think you ever make peace with that.
Yeah.
I think it's a scar you live with.
And you just have to constantly process it.
You have to constantly process, and it comes up in new ways in every aspect of your life.
And I mean, I guarantee you that was probably the big gain for him. Because I'm sure he was big before that.
Oh, yeah.
But
after coming out, and he said when he came out in high school, that's when his weight got worse. Because his mother, I'm sure, was horrible. And Dr. Stapleton, she is great, y'all. And she even talks about, she said, I want you to say one of the things I'm angry about. Because Corey says, I'm not angry. I'm more petty.
That's an excuse.
That's passive aggressiveness.
Right.
And y'all, pettiness or someone that
it's a cover for real anger.
We've talked about anger. People don't think they can be angry. But
right.
Who would not be angry at their mother?
It's because he's been told not to be angry towards her. And
yes.
You don't want to be because you're thinking, you're making excuses because she's your mother.
Well, and he feels like this situation he has now with his food, and that's what a lot of people think with especially food addiction. Well, just stop. Just eat the right food. Just work
yeah.
out.
But like, it's emotional. It has, yeah.
But Dr. Stapleton really,
I loved this.
She nails it and she says this, and I've done this a lot as a therapist.
It's not your fault.
Is to say the situation you're in now totally makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And people go, what? And I'm like, it makes sense to me because you were a child. And what did she say? She's like, children were not meant to deal with this type of trauma.
Right.
And even though you're in high school, y'all, you're still a child. You still are a kid.
Yeah.
You're not an adult.
Your emotions are
you're
still pretty.
You're having to process these things. Because I bet if Corey thinks back, I know he came out when he was a freshman, but I bet
yeah.
a lot of his food issues are from dating back from when he was younger, and he knew he was gay.
Right.
And he,
knew his mother wouldn't accept it.
And she basically says, you were doing the best that you could, and food, it makes sense that food is the thing that gave you comfort
right.
and you could have control.
Because as someone who's a patient, you guys, what I do with my clients is saying, well, yeah, it makes sense you would do that. It seems anything you can tell someone is saying, it is very normal to feel that way,
yeah.
or it's okay that you feel that way.
Mm-hmm. And she has him, what I love, this is a very narrative thing, she has him write a letter to food,
mm-hmm.
and kind of a goodbye letter. Ooh. Y'all, if you've never written...
Pizza, I love you.
Oh, but if you've never written, if you're trying to give up something or... If you've never written a goodbye letter to that thing,
mm-hmm.
I highly encourage it because the shit that comes out,
yeah,
it really makes you. And what I love is that she then had him when he comes back later. This is kind of jumping ahead, but we can. It's fine. When he comes back later, she asks him to read the letter, and the red letter is very. It's very Corey. It's very tongue in cheek.
It is. It's not real.
It's not. But what she actually does is, y'all, wherever. I always say this all the time. Humans will do the thing that helps them get out of the situation, and it usually is the best thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we progress in life, those things, the thing that was working for you isn't working anymore. But there is this level of, she says, kind of basically, what are you grateful for
right.
for food?
How can you thank food?
What did food give you?
And that's when he just lets go. She said, what about thank you for being there when no one else was? Thank you for protecting me from the loneliness. And he gets it.
He gets it.
So compelling.
When we say thank you to those things, instead of trying to let them go with shame and
yeah.
guilt, we actually let them go with love and more of a closure
yeah.
of it's a better breakup.
I tell my clients when we're working, I said,
no, that was very moving.
This wants to engage. We're talking about like chin and neck muscles. Mm-hmm. And I said, don't engage. You're not welcome here. I said, no, say thank you for trying to make me not feel like a failure.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need you right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I approach it.
It's
too.
A much better.
Yeah.
yeah. But it's kind of like y'all, it's conditioning. And don't get offended when I say this, but we're like dogs. We are. And we've learned now.
I'm a dog.
We've learned better, though, that dogs do better with positive training mm-hmm. rather than negative. Anyway.
So he's starting to cry. Later on, he has a scene with Kristen where they find out he can resume his degree. They have granted his appeal.
He can resume his degree. He's going to be able to get his college education.
He talks again with Dr. Proctor, and they're having to postpone because of COVID, which we all kind of knew that was coming.
Yeah.
And he's like, but Corey, because we're having to postpone a month, I want you to lose another 25 pounds. Again, these are TV stakes.
Yeah.
I got it. And so they are The next thing is Bobby's over because guess what, y'all? Corey's got a blind date.
Got a blind date.
Now,
got a blind
I will date. Say, for two men to be having a blind date in 2020 or 2021, that's crazy. Because it's like, I got to see you. I know. I have 7 pictures of your dick before I go out with you.
That's poodle. That's true.
But that's even on websites or even on hookup apps, even if you don't show your dick, you see pictures of them. And this guy did not have any pictures.
I think he talked about later, but y'all, again, we're in the Deep South. The guy he goes on a date.
He might be on the down low.
He's a black man in the South. He could not be out, although he's on a television show now. But he says he just doesn't like the way people portray themselves. And interestingly enough, Corey says several times he portrayed exactly who he was. He's like, I have pictures of my body. And the guy says his pictures didn't look like who he really was.
Right.
But what I like about this, again, people think someone looks like Corey. They think of them as non-sexual.
I know. I was so glad they did this.
Think of them as not
like,
dating.
Oh, they're never going to get a date.
And then they didn't realize that not only did they get it, but Corey has the opposite. He has to.
It's like, oh, I'm a hoe.
He has to watch, though, against people fetishizing
and
him.
For and for feeders.
And just seeing him for fatness.
Yeah.
Not seeing him for who he is.
Yeah. That is a thing, you guys, unless you, if you don't know it, there is definitely people who fetishize obese people, and there are feeders who get off on feeding people.
There's this guy that we used to know in film. This is like 10 years ago. This is like when I was still not dating, in a relationship, and I remember seeing a guy, and like we were business, like pitching. He worked for a production company, thinner than both you and I, you know, gay guy. And we ended up not working with him because he ended up hitting on my business partner who wasn't into him at all. But I saw him like 3 years later, and he was not just chubby. He was very obese.
Yeah.
And he totally is into this feeding culture, which I'm all about. But I just think of the health standard. I'm
right.
Like, are you seeing people for people, or are you just seeing them for just like...
It does seem that the fetishization of your appearance and your health...
To me, that seems just as bad as telling someone they need to lose weight and have an 8-pack abs because you're just seeing their abs and their pec.
Yeah. Well, to fetishize someone's looks only for the looks is never great.
I get it if somebody says... There's a difference between fetishizing and a difference of like, you know what? I just prefer people that are... You know, I that's just what I'm more.
But I'm talking about relationships, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but some people can use that as like, oh, I'm attracted to people with red hair. Okay, sure. But you use that as you only date people with red hair. You know what I mean? It's just, where's the line in this? And it sounds like Corey has been
with a lot
of guys who just want, ugh.
Let's also say that Corey needs a little help dating.
Oh, yeah.
A couple things you don't say.
Okay.
Number one, I definitely have a sex life.
Yeah.
He tells this guy the guy's name is, where is it?
Tehran.
Thank you. He's like, I'm not gonna, what does this say? Oh, we also should say the brother is over helping him pick out outfits.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're helping your straight brother? Why not ask Renee? But I think they just wanted this scene of the brother getting, he's like, I'm not going to ask if I should enema or shave.
Like,
and the
what?
Brother's like.
The brother's face. It's like when somebody came over to my dad's house to do some yard work and he left. And I turned to my Aunt Darla. I said, I bet you he's got a big dick. And she went. She was not prepared.
Aunt Darla wasn't prepared?
I know. And she's still, but still, you know, it's just a lot. And Corey even says, normally I wouldn't go out with a guy. I don't see his picture. He said, but when there's a drought on dick, you do what you got to do.
So he is, and this guy's attractive. But
oh, yeah, he's real cute.
He asks him, have you been out with a person of size before? He's like, not really. He's cagey.
Corey though needs to find out, is this guy like just fetishizing me? So, I knew it wasn't going to go well when he says, oh, I'm a manager of a bookstore. And Corey's like, yeah, I don't read. I was like, oh, geez. Y'all aren't, y'all be friends.
I watch movies about books. And he also says, tells him about his weight loss surgery. And also, y'all,
this was a lot on a first date.
It was. Instead of just bringing, I don't know, like snacks and something like that or a picnic, he just has two bottles of wine.
Two bottles of wine and a very...
That's a poodle date in my 20s.
And a very gay picnic basket. That's yes. A poodle date in his 20s.
Y'all, if you're having to have any of the semblance of a date, you need to have snacks and not just two bottles of wine.
If we get him talking about picnic etiquette, we'll be here until Sunday.
Well, true. There's a lot of picnic etiquette. So he's also saying things like, who doesn't want a hot doctor inside him? And that's funny. And he's making the guy laugh. He's like, remember, I'm a hoe. And but you don't tell the person you're on a date with that you're a hoe. And you hold that back.
Well, I know he's sex positive, but I think Corey's going to let you know all of his faults. Anything that he thinks someone is a fault, he's going to let you know quickly about it and joke about it.
Right.
So that way you can't bring him down.
He can call out disappointment because he's not disappointed because he's already disappointed himself.
Yes.
He also says, you know, I just like people. I don't have standards. I'm not picky. Not a thing to say. Not a thing to say on a date. Don't do that to yourself. Don't say I'm not picky. Anyone who says I'm not picky, by the way, is picky.
Actually, I think sometimes when people say they're not picky, they're desperate for love.
I agree with that too.
So it could be either. But yeah, I think, and that's Corey.
But I'm saying that desperation will allow you to reject everyone who's not exactly in line.
I agree.
He does get his approval appointment.
He's going to have the surgery. He gets the approval appointment. I forgot about that. So he goes to see the doctor.
And he has lost over 75 pounds.
Yep, he's lost 75 pounds. Or no, he's lost 82 pounds.
Yeah.
So he is good to do. It kind of starts to go plop-wise, but then, y'all, it's the surgery day, or the day before surgery.
Bobby is taking him.
But before Bobby takes him, the day before, Kristen comes over. And, y'all,
this was really sweet.
It just turns out then tomorrow when he's having his surgery is the anniversary of his dad's death. The year anniversary.
And his mom made him a board.
His mom.
Kristen.
Kristen made him this board. And basically she said, this is to remind you are loved and that people care about you. And that you have encouragement. And that's where Corey says, I do feel more loved. Cut to his brother taking him to surgery. This is something my brother and I would do. I love him that his brother takes to surgery. They're kind of talking. And then Corey gets out of the truck and Corey says, what? No hug? What if I die today? And his brother's like, see ya. I'm like, that is totally my family.
I like it when he grabs his brother and like envelops him in his fat.
Yeah, he's like, here. Yeah, on purpose. And he's like, one day I'm going to do this to you. It's really funny.
So, y'all, the next thing we have is we see the surgery. I fast forwarded that because I can't watch it. I just don't like surgery.
They have surgery. And y'all, then it's five. The surgery goes well. And then it's 5 months later. And then this song plays because the producer said, hey, Siri, play me a royalty-free version of Lizzo's Good as Hell.
It was.
And that's the song that we got called Haters Watch Me Sweat.
Haters Watch Me Sweat. I'm gonna do it out the dirt. I'm feeling good as heck.
Good as sweat. Y'all, it literally is just Good as Hell. Hashtag Haters Watch Me Sweat.
By Gizmo.
Yes, and that's where we see
6-piece outfit out of Iceland.
That Gizmo, yes. Which is we see brother shaved his beard.
Oh, he's hot now.
Holy moly, 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 moly.
Cammy from the shelter, Aunt Kristen, and some friends.
Yep. He's getting ready, y'all.
I don't think Renee was there. I guess Renee's been kicked to the curb.
I don't know. I guess, yeah.
She had to work.
Well, because he moved out because he's going to school.
That's true.
But, y'all, the big reveal with his purple hair, he's lost 396 pounds.
He's 396 now.
Yes.
And he's the next goal is 250. And he's model walking. He's
laying on the table like a cover model.
He's like,
model.
There's no dessert here. I'm the only dessert.
Oh, he's in school.
I love
now.
How positive this
oh,
is.
Oh, he's great. He's a human services major because he wants to do something in right. social services and help, which is basically what he had. And
he's giving a speech about resilience. And his brother at the party talks about Corey is the most resilient person I've ever known because he gets knocked down and always gets back up. And he's a person that amazes me. And I start crying. And Corey says, "Didn't know we were doing tears."
Didn't know we were doing tears. It was a very sweet moment.
It was sweet. And he's like, "Now we're doing hot girl shit."
We are. So that's Corey.
That's Corey.
I don't have anything else. That's our
It was a very empowering episode, I felt like.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there were the normal.
Remember we said this was going to be a 30-minute
yeah,
episode?
Yeah, that's true. Well, we chose this as one of the picks to choose because, it wasn't about his weight. It was about him as a person.
Yeah.
And Poodle and I honestly very much related to him.
Yeah, and I felt, I watched this twice, and it got me both times.
If you want to watch the YouTube video of him talking about all this too, it is interesting because there are parts that he talked where he's like saying this is very moving, and he talks about that as well.
There is a Where Are They Now too, where he does a photo shoot with him and a friend, and he's painting things on their bodies like too fat, too gay, too that.
Yeah. Just too
that's
much.
Great too. Yeah, too much.
Too much of something that's not enough.
That's your favorite Spice Girl song?
Oh, I love that song.
No, the best song is To Become One.
Oh, wait, that's what I love.
Like I never needed love before. Gonna make love to you.
That's the one where they change it, Jimmy.
I had a lot of love. Now I'm back for more. Gonna make love to you, baby. Set your spirit free. It's the only way to be.
Everything I said about the other song, I meant about
this. No, To Become One.
I meant it for this one.
How did I know that was your favorite? Because that's the best song.
Because I probably said it before.
You probably have.
That's the show.
I love that song.
I love it too. Y'all, we'll see you on the next By Curious. We'll be sending
what
you a
poll.
What is
our sign off? No. Bye bye. Can I take my clothes off now?
No.